to the office.
All right, good morning. I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, June 7th, 2016. Before we do the Pledge of Allegiance, as is tradition, we want to welcome, Wayne, I'm sure we both want to welcome our new member, Marty Chitty. As he joins us, Marty was sworn in this morning at 9 o'clock as the appointment replacement for our dear friend Paul Tude, who actually, passed away a month ago yesterday. Marty, we're glad to have you here. We're excited about what you bring to the board and welcome.
Thank you, and you're very welcome. Appreciate it.
All right, so now, everybody, please join us as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, this is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items that are on today's agenda. Is there anybody wishing to do so? And seeing no one moving immediately the microphone, we're going to move to recognition of the C2C Citizens Task Force. And Leanne wrote me a nice little blurb that I've got to go get. So I'll be back in 10 seconds. C2C Citizens Task Force Project Team Recognition. Paramount to the C2C plan development was that Story County worked together, public input in various means and to the greatest extent possible. Later on, when we get consideration of the C2C plan on our agenda, I'm positive that you will agree that we tried to engage our citizens on many different levels with different platforms and different delivery mechanisms. Two key components of the plan development and outreach tools were to put in place two groups to help guide the process. The C2C Citizens Task Force was made up of representatives invited from each school district and community in Story County, as well as individuals from the following stakeholder groups: transportation, healthcare, economic development, development community, natural resources, aging population, human resources, and Iowa State University. From March 2015 through this past March, the C2C task force met 7 times to help guide the plans developed. A project team was also established, and the project team was primarily comprised of county staff with representatives from the City of Ames, Iowa DOT, Story County Planning and Zoning Commission, the AEDC. They were all brought to the table to further help define goals, objectives, and strategies outlined in the plan. We, the board, elected to serve the citizens of Story County, all thank you for your time and dedication. The plan's name, From Cornerstone to Capstone, was intentionally designed to demonstrate this very simple message. With this plan, we recognize our strong, solid planning heritage, but we take it further and we look forward 20 years to 2036 with the C2C plan, serving as our collective blueprint. You collectively sat at the drawing board along with the citizens of our county and set forth the visions and goals, and we thank you. So I'm going to read the names of the task force members first, and anybody who's present, please come forward so that we can acknowledge you. Barb McBreen, Shelley So, Jennifer Heathoff, Wally Loney, John Hall, Sonia Alano Dodd, Tim Garden, Lynn Lathrop, Steve Gray, Marvin Smith, Lynn Scarlett, Margaret James, Penny Brown Huber, Steve Lequa, Drew Camp, LaVon Shills, Adam Gibson, Chuck Winkleblatt, Nate Easter, Ray Reynolds, Brad Heemstra, Al Bradish, Mike Clayton, Adi Maxey, Amy Knowles, Jerry Balmer, Mark Soderstrom, Ted Tedesco, Jennifer Davies, Kathy Brown, Jody Gast, Michelle Super, Jason Ellingson, Deb Shildroth, Steve Goodhue, Tyler Hulk, Jan Gammon. Let's get a picture with this group and acknowledge them. Go on in.
Yeah, we'll take a picture with this group up here. Yeah.
You ready for the event?
I am.
You want to visit at all? Before
No.
Okay.
Pretty important people in the
middle. Drew, you're on the end.
Already.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Next one. Okay. All right. Next one.
All right. Now I'm going to read off the names of the C2C project team members. And you guys, please come forward as that last group did, if you're here. If not, don't come forward. Charlie Vassell, Aaron Steele, Darren Moon, Deborah Shildroth, Drew Camp, Kelly Dykeman, Leanne Harder, Jerry Moore, Matt Boyk, Michael Cox, Phil Messler, Ryan Newstrom. We're going to take a picture with this group as well.
I need to know you can get up and down so much, didn't you?
Come on in here. Everybody squeeze together.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. So this is a lot of work, a lot of really, really good work. I'm excited that this is coming before the board today for us to finally adopt, or at least discuss and possibly adopt. But please join me in recognizing those people that really worked so hard to put together what I think is a great project. All right, that leads us to agency reports, and we're going to start with HRDA, and it's Brooke Ramsey that's here today to talk to us. Yeah. Brooke, come on up. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, as usual, we've had a lot going on over the past year. Definitely participated in the task force. Thank you to the county for setting that up. A few things that we did this year include providing a couple of buses for 2 days for the Special Olympics program. We had a really good partnership with them for the past few years and look forward to continuing that. We also have participated with the United Way of Story County in our summer lunch program that's in Nevada. We provided transportation to 153 kids to the meal program last year. We will be starting that in a couple of weeks again this year and look forward. They're going to try and expand into other communities next year as well. We did some fun things like providing rides during tulip time. We had a shuttle for the Veterans Day activities, and that went over really well for the residents in Story County. We also did a shuttle for Iowa State Fair on Older Islands Day and look forward to doing that here again in a couple of months. I believe that time is in. We have ongoing services to Iowa City, the hospitals and clinics for medical appointments. And upcoming next year, we have partnered with Spruce Hill Winery to start a shuttle for weekend activity. And are looking forward to a partnership with the Boys and Girls Club for after-school transportation here in Nevada. And we are also looking into a partnership with the Farmers Market. So one of the goals that we had with our mobility coordinator this year were to kind of help break into demographics that we don't typically serve and get out with the general public community a little bit more. So in these new services, we have a feeling that we can kind of break through some barriers that we've had in having people understand we do serve the entire general public. Our mobility coordinator does host an annual conference. They have a different target every year. I'm not sure what their upcoming topic is going to be, but that's always a really good conference. And through a partnership with the Des Moines Area MPO and the Iowa DOT, that is a free conference that we host. She also established a travel training program. It's a train-the-trainer style, and she started that in Story County. We've only hosted it once. It was a kind of chilly day, so we decided to put that off future trainings until the weather got nicer. Unfortunately, it now is. So she'll resume those trainings. We do participate with, we call them transportation advisory groups, and Story County is hosted at the United Way, and it's called the Transportation Collaboration. That meets quarterly to help us with ongoing partnership focuses through the task force that was established last year. Through a grant, we actually added a position called the mobile supervisor, which is a unscheduled driver in an unscheduled bus. Fortunately, we haven't needed that as much as we originally anticipated when the task force first started, but we do have that there, and the grant is for a year, so we'll continue some ongoing evaluation of that service. In fiscal year 15, we provided over 60,000 trips. We had 374,000 miles and almost 26,000 hours of services. We did add 2 new buses, thanks again to the county for some assistance with the match money. And we had a new MV1, which is similar to a minivan that was purchased through SkyRide. And the asset program that the county assisted with helped provide funding for 6,276 trips and 212 additional trips through the local option sales tax. We do have some grants for bus replacements. There were some federal grants that the state DOT submitted, and we're hoping to get those. As has been historical, Iowa has one of the oldest fleets in the United States as far as public transportation, and HERTA is one of the top 2 on the list within Iowa. We also have a federal grant out for the facility portal, a customer portal, and online web payments. So the facility portal would allow access for medical clinics or basically any business that wanted to assist their clientele in requesting a ride. They could do that online, and they could do that 24 hours a day. The customer portal works the same way that it's intended for individuals, and then the online payments would be like a prepaid account. So if you wanted to help with your child or your mother's transportation or even your own, you could have that prepaid and wouldn't have to carry cash. So that's another payment option for folks. We will hear back about that next month, so it's a relatively short turnaround. And we did just get news, actually late yesterday evening, we had applied for a community betterment grant with Prairie Meadows in the county. Thank you for a letter of support for that. We had applied for about $60,000, and we were awarded $5,000. So it's the first time we've received or applied for a grant through Prairie Meadows. So we're excited that we were awarded $5,000 of that. Do you have any questions for us?
No, just the one evening van that you were hoping would be made available to fill in for rides. Do we need to do more in just publicizing that, or what could you attribute to the fact that it's not been used as much? Is that people, I assume that's to serve to help coordinate or rides when people aren't picked up or something of that nature, or was that supposed to be just for certain after-hour type employment trips?
The mobile supervisor and scheduled bus, that was intended for example, if there was a vehicle breakdown, then there would be a supervisor who could quickly go to help keep services on track. We have been doing really well with having services stay as scheduled. We haven't had as many difficulty in staying on schedule as we did a year ago. I do attribute a lot of that to the implementation of the tablets as the digital technology, because there's a lot more live things able to happen. So I just think overall in some of the changes that we made, both in customer accountability, holding customers accountable to the no-show policy and things of that nature, the notification module, which reminds people of their rides the day before, that when we add all of those components together, it alleviated some of the underlying issues that were causing the buses to be off schedule.
Any recommendations from the task force that HERD has been unable to implement at this point?
Well, we started off with 26 items, so the goal was to kind of reel that in and focus on what the task force, the group itself, thought were the top three. We've done, I think, a pretty good job with those three items, which were partnerships, communications, and technology. So we do have another meeting coming up. Thank you to Doug Shuldruff for facilitating scheduling that. And so I think that that's going to be some of the ongoing conversation of what do we need to look at next, and which of those are the next few priorities. And I guess I should have added, thanks for the experience that we learned from this process, we are looking at implementing that in another county in our region, Marion County, starting at the end of this month. So we did learn a lot from that and are able to take that and apply it again around in other parts of our services.
Well, thank you very much, and Brooke, I'll say to both you and Deb, since Deb's sitting here, I think it would be appropriate for the Board of Supervisors to receive just kind of an update, what the recommendations were, what we've made progress on, what we're still looking to make progress on, what we see is not feasible. I just think it's important to not let that lie, and I appreciate that you guys are having another meeting to talk those things through, but maybe something formal back to the Board after that meeting would be appropriate.
Absolutely. Doug and I can get together and kind of visit how that should continue moving forward.
Super. Well, thank you so much for you guys' willingness to work with us here in Story County. I know we've got a lot of work ahead of us, and the HERD is going to be a big part of that. So thank you. Marty, anything?
On behalf of Bay Schools, that we enter our third year of the summer feeding program and the 3D immersion, we couldn't have done it without Gene Chrissy and on the her agency and yours on the movement of children back and forth. Thank you.
Thanks, Brooke.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. Next, we've got Storytime Child Care Center. We've got Jane Underhill with us. I always love it when you come to visit with us. I can't believe it's once a year, right?
Yeah.
I can't believe a year goes by as fast as it goes by.
It does. Real quick. I'm the director in Maxwell. We've been serving families in Collins Maxwell since 1991. We provide full-time care, infant care, preschool Monday through Friday, before and after school care, and summer care for the school agers. And our enrollment has been pretty consistent for the last year, with the exception of these last 3 months. We've had 16 more kids enroll.
Wow.
Yeah, which is...
What do you attribute that to?
Most of them are new people that have moved into town.
Huh, that's great.
It's huge for us. And we have a great board. They've been real involved with the daycare, and I have a great group of staff with a very low turnover.
Right, you've been able to keep your staff for a long time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Which I think is great because, it's important for the kids and families to know who's with their child every day. And things are going well.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Any issues that we need to be aware of, any challenge that you see on the horizon?
The only challenge I've ran into is I've had to hire more employees
with the 16
more kids I've gotten. But otherwise, things are pretty... Besides that, things are going okay.
Great. Question for Jane.
No, thank you.
Do you have any space issues? As you say, your enrollment's going up, that you would be...
Oh, right now I have waiting lists for school-age kids and the baby room. But there's... Where my facility is, we can't really... We just have to put them on a waiting list with that. So... It's going real well.
Other questions? Wayne, you know she's got your Apple Watch there. You see that?
Oh, you know, we were just talking about making some music available to me, so I think I could use a watch.
Yeah. And I tried to get a hold of, earlier in the year, my
dear friend,
Aaron Davenport. I'm not sure if you ever met him, but he had passed away. He was our board president since 1991.
Wow.
So he was an awesome man.
Yeah.
Huge loss to a lot of people, but things are going well.
Yeah. Good. Well, let us know if we can be of assistance.
Thank you.
Next, consideration of our May 31st minutes.
Move approval as submitted.
Second.
We've got a motion and a second. Any corrections, additions, or thoughts? Clinton.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
I ain't used to saying that.
Sanders. Aye. consideration of personnel actions as listed, board.
Also move approval as submitted.
I second that.
Any discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Chee?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Personnel action passed. Consent agenda, board, please add utility permits 1693 through 1696.
Okay. Again, move approval as with the noted changes.
I second that.
Clinton?
Aye.
Chee?
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consent agenda passes. Gets us to additional items. Discussion and consideration of Resolution 1665, adopting the cornerstone to capstone, or C2C, comprehensive plan. Leanne Hartman.
I'm not
Leanne,
but
you
told me to come up.
Leanne, I think we want you up here as well.
We still want both of you.
It's on there.
Anybody else? Yeah.
I have a very brief presentation. So,
get that light for us over there.
Yes, okay.
Right here.
Excellent. Good morning. Thank you again for having me. Chris Jansen with MSA Professional Services, the lead consultant on the Cornerstone Capstone Plan. We are here to look at the final, kind of take a final look at this, and I believe take any public comments and any last minute suggestions, changes, edits, all that kind of stuff. Right, Jerry. So, real brief review of the schedule, just so anybody who's not real familiar with it can kind of look at the whole breadth of the public engagement activities and all that kind of stuff over the last year plus. Then just what we've added, the only new things we've added since the last meeting on the 17th of May, I believe, was a cover, an acknowledgments page, which you guys requested, and then we added a table of contents as well. The only thing I can see adding after this point that would be kind of in the front of the plan would be a resolutions page where we put the resolution from today. And then Leanne's going to cover the next steps in terms of implementation and what you guys can expect over the next kind of, she said, you know, between now and next December, basically, and then furthermore past that. So, go ahead. Oh, I can do it. Sorry. So, we started back in March of 2015, so March a year ago and more. Started with some visioning. Went into goals development, then into research analysis scenario development in June and July. We had public meetings at that point, public input meetings. We had four of those across the county where we basically just got people's ideas in terms of issues, opportunities, did SWOT analysis, that kind of stuff. Had community surveys, had a youth survey, an Iowa State survey, all that type of stuff to build our goals and objectives and goals and strategies is what they ended up really being, goals, objectives, and strategies. Then moved into actually development of the plan, reviewing that with the Citizens Task Force and the project team, which you guys acknowledged this morning, which was fantastic. In January, we had our open houses. We had an online open house as well as five open houses across the county. Then basically we've been finishing up the plan since that point. Met with the Planning and Zoning Commission in a workshop, and then they passed a recommendation on you guys. Had a workshop with you guys last May 17th at one of your meetings there, And we're here today asking for consideration of approval and moving forward. So, go ahead.
The cover.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry.
We so it's on the left there. Basically, we took those four tenets of growth-oriented, sustainable infrastructure, economy and prosperity, government leadership and learning environments, natural amenities. Found some pictures that Leanne had given us of different actual buildings and landscapes in Story County to put those on there. So it kind of lines up with the foundation, which is chapter 3 of the plan. The acknowledgments page, we noticed Board of Supervisors, Planning and Zoning Commission, the Task Force, Conservation Board, which was a big part of Chapter 4 of the plan, the project team, and then consultants, and also added something for Paul there that was mirrors what has been on the county website. And then the table of contents, basically it's very similar to what you'd see in Chapter 1. There's a table, kind of a general table of contents there, but this way it's at the front of the plan, so somebody can easily open that up, look to if they're looking for something specific in terms of land use or transportation or that kind of thing. They can easily figure out which page to go to from that point forward if they have a print version. Now, I know that we have a C2C plan website. It'll be up for probably another, until next January, that'll be up and available. But I noticed that the county has the plan up on your website as well. So once all these documents are finalized, we will transfer those, all that information over, and you guys will have that at your disposal at any time. So, go ahead. Dan?
Good morning. The slide in front of you is intended to graphically demonstrate what comes from here forth. Today was the adoption of the cornerstone capstone on the upper left-hand corner. That leads right into the implementation matrix. That is the series of specific tasks and work items that will operationalize the C2C plan. The project team will come together in June to begin to list out those tasks, assign budget figures, assign time frames, responsible parties, whatsoever. In early September, there'll be a joint meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission, Story County Conservation Board, and Board of Supervisors to review that draft implementation matrix, and then ultimately come before you in October of this year. That then sets the stage for as we begin our CIP and budgeting for next fiscal year. Those should all build on each other, with ultimately then the budget adoption in March 2017. And then a year from now, really starting the implementation matrix. Well, immediately after October, but with budgeting, items that are in the CIP, those will begin by a year from now. Any questions about implementation? The only thing I do want to say is very important that the C2C should always be viewed as a living guide, as a blueprint. Not the it's policy direction, but it's not regulatory.
Marty was appointed last Tuesday night at about, it had to have been getting close to 9 p.m. And after the process was finished, as I walked back to the office, I noticed Marty back in the office doing some of the preliminary paperwork that I guess she had to do. But I saw Leanne, and I mean this nicely, Leanne, I saw Leanne hovering with a big copy of this C2C plan. And as I was walking out, I saw her sticking this in your chest, I think saying, Marty, you better come up to speed on this quick. Since then, Marty and I have had a couple conversations. Marty asking what Wayne and I's expectations were, and I said, if you have questions, now is the time to ask them. If you don't understand how we got to a place, now is the time to ask it. But I firmly believe, and Chris, I'll ask you to address this, I view this document as a lot of great, really hard work, incorporating ideas from lots of different people and groups. They give us a snapshot of not only where Story County is, but where Story County would like to go as of today. And we need to recognize that this document does not necessarily bind this board, but it should give this board a mechanism to filter information and make decisions. We should have a document that we can run that stuff through. But it is, as Leanne said, a living document that as we work through the process, things are going to change. I just ask you to walk us through that.
Yes, I 100% agree. We've created, and if you start to look through the goals and the objectives and the strategies here in the plan, the goals are very broad and vague, and probably things that most people that are an active member of society would be like, yeah, that's obviously something we want to do, protect water resources, that sort of thing. And then it goes into the actual objectives, which gets a little more specific about, and not in terms of actual actions, but more of, here's some of the things we're trying to get out of going forward with addressing this goal and moving forward. And then the strategies are a little more aimed at some things that can actually be done. But we've designed, and this was evident through the beginning, even as we started working with you folks and PNZ and also the public in all of those public input meetings, that it has to be a flexible plan. And ultimately, you guys are responsible as elected officials in making those determinations, and things are going to change. You're going to get a petition this year that, the entire county, you guys, anybody else who sees it is going to see it one way, and it could be a totally different thing in 3 years from now with different people at the helm, different department heads, all that kind of stuff. This plan allows some flexibility in that. It doesn't tie, supervisors 5 years from now to you said you guys were going to do this and now we're going to do it.
Which is the exact conversation, Chris, that you and I had 15 months ago, the first time that right. You sat down in my office. And so I think it's fair to say that the board has really taken a hands-off approach in the development of this plan, right? We commissioned the plan. We contracted with you guys to run the process. And then the board really got out of the way and said, hey, this needs to be citizen-run. And so we really have not had a lot of input other than, it's come before us four times over the last year or so. And we've had our input at those four meetings. But what I said to Chris, and I'm paraphrasing here, Chris, and if you remember it differently, I would say it. I remember saying, we don't need a document that tries to bind the direction of the board. We need a document that helps guide the direction of the board. We don't know what the board's going to look like, what the board's priorities are going to be. We need something that assists whatever board is sitting up here, and that's what we charged you guys with developing. I think that's what you did.
That is definitely what our primary goal was in that sense. And you were right when you said earlier that it's a collection of the input from the community that's put together into those goals and objectives and strategies. And they're a guide. A lot of what Leanne's going to be doing over the next year, it looks like, in terms of is where, and that'll be, I would assume that'll be an annual process for you guys, is kind of looking at, okay, here's where the plan was, here's some of the things we know are on the horizon in terms of us, infrastructure challenges, growth challenges, whatever it is. And here's where there's some ideas from the public that are in the plan, which is where those goals, objectives, and strategies come from. Let's interpret that and let's move forward and make the plan. You're going to do that on an annual basis and on a case-by-case basis for the next 20 years of the plan.
Yeah, so my challenge to this board and any future board that sits up here is don't let this gather dust. I mean, it needs to be a living, breathing document that is referred to regularly. Jerry, frankly, as chair of the board, I'm charging you and Leanne with making sure that the board of supervisors don't let this thing gather dust, that we refer to it often, and make sure that it's continuing to be a guide for us.
Yeah. And you have a couple, I think, Mike's, the Conservation Board, Chapter 4 being their kind of strategic plan in itself. I think they're going to use it on a regular basis, and you'll constantly see stuff from them as they continue to improve their services and grow and that kind of stuff. Where, we had in the plan, here's what we were thinking, here's our base mapping that showed where we have the need, that kind of thing. Same thing with planning and zoning and Jerry in terms of him, them looking at a lot of these things in the land use chapter and saying, okay, here's why we made this decision, or here's this recommendation. Here's what we were thinking, and here's the three strategies that align with it, or here's the goal that we were really trying to achieve, and here's our decision. What do you guys think? And that plan will work very much in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Questions?
No, I was going to say, and Chris, I appreciate you really mentioning the role of the Conservation and P&Z has played in this because You're sitting down with the Conservation Board, as you know. I thought it was a very fruitful, productive session. Obviously, there was a question around certain specific types of things that probably we wanted to maybe add to, but that more or less would be the role of the Conservation Department, the Conservation Board, working with Mike to guide through that development. So we tried to identify those broader topics in the areas, be it water quality, recreational opportunities, land use types of issues, acquiring additional land, many of those kinds of things. And I think that, as you referred to, they will use that as part of their strategic plan as they move forward in the future. And I see it really giving a great deal of guidance, because what it did, it was just not only just that board, but it was also citizen-driven. We had a lot of people who were friends of conservation that have also, you know, given their input as well. And I think this is even true for the other departments that were represented. And I can't thank enough our lead group from the county for the role that they played in this, in helping to facilitate moving it along and things of this nature. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this, that last week we met with the group of us that went to Manhattan, Kansas to take a look at from the Ames and the greater Ames community. And we talked about comparing some of the things that they did there versus what we're hoping to do in Story County and specifically in Ames Improvement. And I mentioned just the other night that the plan of the C2C plan, as they were talking about coming together with a strategic plan that will help guide us in the future, we now already have a structure in place that is very similar because it did encompass Ames as well. It encompassed all of our communities. And so if we could maybe piggyback on some of those kinds of things as we identify certain community improvement areas, I think it will really enhance the future growth and development in our community. Yep. So again, special thanks to you and your group for the leadership in this area, but I'd be remiss if I also didn't really have kudos to Leanne for her guidance through this process as well, and making sure that we had all the key players at the table to get us to where we are today.
Yeah. It was a fantastic organizational effort in that sense, but the project team, the Citizens Task Force, the project team did a great job. And at the beginning of the process, when they said, oh yeah, we're going to meet every 2 weeks, I thought, oh, how am I going to come up with enough content every 2 weeks to make it? But it worked. It was fantastic to be able to be on the same page throughout the entire process.
Well, you guys have earned a great reference from Story County. Use it how you see fit. We appreciate your leadership and guidance assisting us in drafting this plan. We're excited about adopting it. Before we take action on it, though, I want to have Leanne come back up. And Leanne, I think it's appropriate, since this is Marty's first meeting here, and because we all tend to forget how we get where we get, to do a real brief history lesson of how the board got here. I was looking, as Wayne was talking, I was looking over Wayne's shoulder. Wayne, I wasn't paying complete attention, but I was still looking over your shoulder, and we put the strategic plan documents that this board works for, but that wasn't even the beginning of how we built to this process. And so I think we start with the CPAT group, but just take us through real briefly how we got to where we are today.
CPAT was 2011. CPAT is Community Planning Assistance Team. There was a pro bono visit by members of the American Planning Association. This should pick it up. They came in, looked at our regulations in effect, did some stakeholder participation, set a guide for Story County to use to kind of dip our toes into economic development. That was the real intention, bringing CPAD in. One of the recommendations, and that being said, one of the recommendations of many that have actually come to fruition was that Story County develop a long-range comprehensive plan. That ended. The Government Restructuring Committee came aboard.
Which Marty Chitty was a part of.
Marty was. Series of recommendations. very, in some cases, mirroring those of the CPAT report, again, identifying the need for comprehensive planning. Taking those two things in line, we brought in the Institute for Decision Making out of University of Northern Iowa to lead the Board of Supervisors in Surrey County into some visioning sessions. That all then set the framework for the board to direct staff to develop an RFP to bring a consultant on board, and I echo your comments regarding Chris and MSA and Confluence and Brett Palmberg. We had an exceptional, exceptional consulting team. Bring them on board, budget for it, bring them on board, and go forward. That's, in a nutshell, the history. I can go back to 1957 if you want, but...
But it's been a work in progress with specifically for this board over the last 5 years of building one step at a time to get to what is Story County's first ever comprehensive plan.
True. We've had a long history of land use planning and elements of comprehensive plan. Oh, that's a step I left out.
Right.
Before we drafted the RFP, internally, planning and development staff did an audit. Comprehensive plan audit of what we had, what was missing. We found all the, essentially all the pieces of comp plan were there in one form or another. It wasn't cohesively tied together, and it didn't. In some cases, they butted heads from a priority standpoint. And what this does, this accomplishes that's a coordinated effort.
Which is the fair critique of Story County traditionally, and going back to me, I mean, going all the way back to 57, has done a great job in silo by silo having great plans. But the problem you get with that is every one of those plans is the highest priority for the people who made those plans, and we didn't have any way to be able to ascertain what our true priorities, overarching priorities were, and this is the first time we have that.
Putting my planner geek in planning school, we always learned that the master plan and a comp plan was your umbrella. Mm-hmm. That's what guides you and protects you and leads you forward.
Thank you very much. Marty, now is your chance if you have questions or comments as you look this over.
Well, I appreciate the time Leanne's put in on this. Her organization, and one of the first presentations she did when she was rolling this out was to the Nevada School Board, and that was a year and a half ago, or very close to. She has kept me tied in through email, as I've always had a curiosity as to where this was going to go, and I see where it is. I believe with the adoption of this, this will be placed on the county's website.
It's on the county's website now. And
I would
have heard website.
It does. As Chris said, c2cplan.com will remain live for a while. But if you look at the county's website, there's a bunch of tabs on the left-hand side. There's one called the C2C plan because it really does need to have that level of importance for our website. That's where the final plan will go. That's where eventually all the other stuff will be translated over there if it's not there already.
I would encourage anybody that hasn't taken the time to read it, because Rick got right when he said Leanne was just hovering over me here the other night, and this is one of the things I was sent home with, and I've had the last week to look at, and while I've had a knothole view of it, and I saw it, as Rick alluded to, the fact that we have siloed approaches here in the county, and I think we are seeing where you move out of that bubble, where as Ames and Nevada start to move together and we have those discussions, as we grow our industries towards one another, I think we have the opportunity for success for everybody in the county. What I found fascinating as a read is the fact that it asks the respective communities how they see themselves. And the thing is, there are cities out there with a viable, active plan, and there are communities that they have a modest approach to what their future looks like. And the thing, as I see this document, this board and future board's approach, is you have the ability to reach out and possibly include them in ways that they might not see for themselves. And I can't see that it's not what positive for our county as a whole.
I agree with that. Thank you very much. This is not a public hearing item, but I think it is appropriate, since this is a document of the public, to stop right here and see if there is anybody who would like to address the board at all on this before we take action.
Good job.
Good job from Loris Olson, and I agree with Loris. Anybody else? Okay. Board?
Good. I would move Resolution 1665, adopting the Cornerstone and Capstone C2C Comprehensive Plan.
I'm very pleased. This is my first action item of being up here as to second that.
Outstanding. We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
No, I just again think that what has been summarized today and all the hard work and effort on the part of everyone, and if we can make sure that this doesn't stay on the shelf and is alluded to time and time again as we move through over the next several years, then all this effort and work, I think, is going to be a terrific reward to the citizens of Story County, but it will also be a framework for why citizens want to stay engaged, because when they see the results of their efforts, you know, it's much easier to bring them to the table the next time you want to sit down and get a citizen's involvement and engagement in various programs and future needs for the county. So, again, kudos to everybody that have played a role in helping us at this point in time.
Okay. Super. Thanks, Wayne. Echo the thanks to everybody. It really, truly was a great job. Clinton?
Aye.
Chee?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Cornerstone Capstone, Resolution 1665 is adopted. That takes us to departmental reports, County Outreach and Special Projects Quarterly Report. Leanne Hardy.
I'm enlisting Mike to help me out here real quick.
Okay.
Okay, I'm back. I'm not bad, and it never goes away. I'm going to present to you what's occurred in my world since March of this year. As County Outreach and Special Projects Manager, I'm going to concentrate on program areas that I've listed on the screen, but just Montgomery PGC plan, the Capital Improvements Plan, Communication Plan, Connect Iowa, Floodplain Management. I have some great news on that. Economic Development, SPA Grant, Local Foods, I'm not going to touch on. That was actually just built into PTC, KubeCog, and miscellaneous. We just, this is a new slide I did add. This little word bubble I did, just used a great online tool from some of the public outreach we heard through the CTC plan. I love this. I think it's so fantastic to highlight the words that probably have the most importance of participation, future, individual, social, strong, responsibility, self-reliance. I think this
is... Tell me what's the foundation of that word bubble. What is that referred to?
That is the public outreach, or the surveys. All the words I put from the surveys into the word bubble.
As it relates to our county public outreach, right?
Yeah. But you just saw this, and this will really set the stage for the next steps, even though you have a resolution adopted. It's not just done today. And then transition into the capital improvements plan, a little bit different approach that you just saw. Usually this time of year, we're bringing the committee together to talk about types of projects and sending outreach to the elected officials and department heads. I hope to approach it differently this year, since we do now have a comp plan. Use that as the basis. And once that implementation matrix is adopted by the Board of Supervisors, then begin the outreach with department heads and elected officials and have the CIP request come in at the same time budget requests come in. So that as a board and as department and elected officials are working for work sessions, we're looking at everything at the same time. And then that public review would go January through February and then adoption of the CIP in March of same time as the budget. I want to take a step back, though. One of the things I will be doing in August is... creating what's called a story map, and hopefully this works. Story map is a product that is through Esri, who is our provider for our GIS system, our GIS. And what this is City of Ames. This is their story map for their CIP. It's a visual depiction of the projects, and it's a interactive based. Program that the public can use to understand the specifics, the designs, the time frames, see images of projects. I hope to, with Matt Boyk's help, create something like this, similar to this, for our own CIP, and then keep that live The document does list out the projects, but until you see a picture, see a location on that, it's just another way for us to have that tool to demonstrate where the projects are to the public. So this is, you can go to the City of Ames website and find this. It's very, so these are their top idea or top categories, and then you click on it and you can see the different projects underneath and locations. So it's a wonderful tool that I will be implementing. Going next, communications plan. We did the Citizen Year Award in April and National County Government Month same month. Working on kind of finalizing the video productions that will go to new employees. You can sit down and see from department heads, elected officials, who does what. Just a simple little part of the orientation process employees would go through when they meet with the HR. Quadrant meetings initially were scheduled to be held this spring and fall. With the transition and the occurrences at the board level, we decided to let's wait and not hold a springtime quadrant meeting.
Yeah, and I'm the guy who needs to, if anybody doesn't like that, I'm the guy that they need to come see. Just with the transition, we made the decision that's what we're going to do.
We'll do one this fall. What I intend to do is send out a letter probably next week to all those entities and just say we're holding off until fall. I'm positive everyone will understand and be aware of the situation. United Way Day of Caring is coming up again in September. The last week, the board approved the Day of Caring again for this year. So that correspondence will go out to elected officials and department heads to share with staff. And then you've all seen the county services posters that are at the end of the buildings. That needs to be updated. It has some references to TLP. So Darla's been helping me with that, and I'll be sending that out to the management team here later this week. Connect Iowa, I'm not going to say much other than this is definitely starting to get a lot of work, which is what we anticipated to be the five strategies. The first one, the broadband training awareness program for small and medium businesses. That is part of the small business toolkit that will be finalized in early September. And then planning beginning in early 2017, the Community Technology Academy. And I'm hoping to work with the Nevada School District on that, given their FFA and their Renewable Energy Conference. Is that the right title, Marty? I think so.
I believe that's what they call it.
I think there's a good framework that they set there that I can learn a lot from and have some partners. Same with the Technology Summit, the Vertical Assets Inventory, which is all that is, vertical assets and the type of towers out there. I've inventoried what's on each tower, or I'm in the process of inventorying it, and that will be finalized in mid-August. And then mid-October, the analysis of local policies and ordinances. This is the big one, floodplain development permit activity. First of all, I'll just go over some activity. New application intake. Year-to-date, we've taken 34 new applications, but since May or March 3rd through June 1st, taken in 22 new applications. 12 of those are for the pipeline. And those will require some additional work. I've issued 8 preliminary construction phase permits, and that's all since March. And 4 are for structural and 4 non-structural. Floodplain permits, I've issued 12 permits, but the big area is I have 23 outstanding permits that are ready for inspection at any time. So I hope weather like this continues, because the last 2 floodplain inspections I've gone out, except last Friday, have been in the rain.
That's the perfect time to inspect for floods.
Yeah, so floodplain connectivity has been great. If you look in the upper right-hand corner, Darla helps me with our database entry, and I struggled with an access database. It's not the most user-friendly, so I created this unique form so we could just click on, add record, make it more simple that we're...
And is that what you had Mike bring us?
No, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
Consistently add new records and issue permits that way, and I think it is working very well. Okay, what Mike brought you? First of all, there's a submittal routing sheet that's with the blue boxes. As of July 1st, Darren, Jerry, and Mike
have all graciously accepted the challenge. They're going to help me as I review floodplain development permits. Not necessarily the regulations of the floodplain program, that is what I will review. But they'll provide maybe land use comments or wetland comments or Darren elevation comments, just something that I've not necessarily seen. And I think that will give me some assurance and will help really take our floodplain development program to the next level too. And so that is the routing sheet that's all, you know, computer based. They can type it in and send it to me.
So this is the interagency review philosophy that you're putting.
Essentially, yeah. Okay. We just won't meet unless we need to.
Right.
And then the next thing is my checklist that I use. I thought you might want to see what I go through when I review floodplain development application. It's pretty comprehensive. I don't know, 7 or 8 pages. Directly taken out of our regulations, I've added them all as a checklist. And then I actually passed around a key to acronyms. This is one of the many things I've developed in the past couple of years. That's part of your packet, too. Those of us in the planning world use a lot of acronyms, but not as much as you do when you come to floodplain management. I think acronym, FEMA itself being an acronym, there has to be some joke in that too, because floodplain, I did not realize how many acronyms there were until I started putting that key to acronyms together, actually. I have found that so helpful when I'm meeting with people. I can give them that sheet, I can say the word one time, and then here's the acronym. So feel free, members of the public that took it, to distribute it too. It's on our website as well.
I don't think OMG Midwest means what I think OMG means.
No, it does not. No. Yeah, that's kind of a joke I have too. We do have one outstanding violation, and that's with OMG Midwest, and that's a voluntary.
It's a big, giant violation. Is that what you're telling me with the OMG?
Yeah. It's actually, they went ahead and misunderstood on there and thought they had the necessary permits, so old permits that had expired. So it's just more housekeeping. The other fantastic news I do want to share with the board, this is the single sheet we received that has the NFIP's PRS logo in the upper left-hand corner. It says verification report. After at least 2 years of looking on our CRS status, I did receive notification last week that we will be entering the community rating system program in October of this year, which means policy discounts will go into effect a year from now, May of 2017. We're going to go in as Class 7. That was my goal, and I set lofty goals. I'm very proud to say that I did reach this.
It was a goal that you didn't believe we were going to reach.
It was a goal I believe we could.
We could, but it was challenging.
It was very challenging. I spent a lot of hard work. What that 7 means is for those policyholders in unincorporated Story County that have flood insurance, they will get a 15% discount on their flood insurance as of May 1st, 2017. Flood insurance is going up an average of 18 to 22% annually, so that increase won't be felt as hard as it would be without this. What it means to Story County is I've already been appointed by you as a CRS coordinator on an annual basis, so I'll have to do a review of our CRS program, which I do almost on a weekly basis. And every 5 years we'll have to recertify. And so I figured out maybe I had to go through that 2 more times and then I won't have to pass that hat to someone else. But I am very pleased. A lot of hard work went into this. This is the preliminary one. We'll get the final one from FEMA. So I'll say the 7. I really doubt that will change because we scored a very strong 7. I do want to share that we're one of 6 communities in Iowa. I think there's 2 or 3 7s, the rest are 8s and 9s. And those are communities that have been in the CRS for several years.
And help me now, because I have this recollection that 7 is about as far as Story County is going to get without building codes.
We might be able to get to 6. But that will require at least one person shop. I think I've probably maxed out what I can do. 6
may be doable. Anything above a 6 requires building code. 6 is questionable, too, without that building code adoption. So I'm so pleased with this. I'm glad to share the news.
And it's 15% for the residents of rural Story County.
Economic development, you all have had a chance to review this beforehand. I just want to highlight that small business toolkit. If you look at the snapshot on the right, this is something that ABC did with Ames. I think, Drew, you're the one that sent this to me. I'm really massaging this for Story County, and I have a database with all of our home business permits and some of the other smaller businesses I know of in unincorporated Story County that I'll be sending this to, just as a resource that they should be using. I'd also want to share, I went to a very interesting conference for APA Iowa, Tomorrow's Economy, is what I should say, talking about, I just blanked out on the name,
the service.
Uber, thank you. Types of businesses like Uber and the VRBs and stuff like that. Very interesting. Application deadline, you did modify the SPA grant, so it's open-ended, which I'm very appreciative of, something that will be able to manage a little bit more easy and straightforward than the past. COOP-COG, the big project. This will be preliminary draft. Yeah, I can say I do a preliminary draft as of last Friday. It's probably not as far as long as I wanted it to be because there's still some questions. I'm waiting for some answers. But I still intend to get something out to the program committee sometime tomorrow, June 8th, and then sometime the week of June 27th, we'll be reviewing it and bringing it back to the board in early August.
Yeah, so let's spend 10 seconds here. This is one of those documents that we hold. We never, ever, ever have to use, right? It's continuity of governmental operations, and it is really referring to what happens in that catastrophic event where multiple or individual or multiple county facilities are unusable. How do we continue to provide essential services? And you've really broken it down, first 12 hours, the first day, first 3 days, first couple weeks, how we're going to do all this. It's a document that Story County has never had. We've been noted a couple times for not having this. We need to have it, but it is a huge amount of work.
It is. And it's a daunting task in that you have to assume worst-case scenario and plan for that, and that's kind of opposite of the CTC planning effort and the visionary aspect of that.
And we should also point out that parts of this plan will be public and parts of this plan absolutely will not be public, as allowed by law and for obvious reasons. There's some things that we're not going to make available to the public that are part of this plan.
Yeah, the Iowa Code does allow for emergency planning and continuity of government in certain areas to remain confidential, and those will be duly noted, and the committee and the board will be advised of that in consultation with our legal counsel. Just miscellaneous, Darla assisted me in completing our website review. We got either reached out to departments that needed that, some changes to their website, like broken links or whatever. If they gave me a blessing, I went ahead and did that. I think that's been 100% addressed. That was a very tedious project, and Darla definitely did the majority of it, so I'm very appreciative of her efforts and doing that. I continue my KHOI updates. Marty, I might want to see if you want to go with me one of these, maybe next Monday morning.
Marty sounds like a natural choice.
Safety committee and wellness committee members, I did assist Jerry in planning development, and that's what that little image in the lower left-hand corner. I put an Excel spreadsheet and went back through all the historical regulations and ordinances and resolutions since 1957 and kind of gave them a perspective of when things changed and when they didn't. And actually copied off all the ordinances and stuff. So he has those in manuals. The history that I fortunately have, I was able to just put on paper. And then I wrap up my stint as an APA, the American Planning Association ambassador. That map over there is the map of those of us within the United States. I'm one of two in the state of Iowa, and I'll be ending my blogging sessions here very shortly and ending the pilot program. It's been a fun year with that. this, you don't have to, this is all training sessions I've been doing either for continuing education credit for my CFM, Certified Flood Plain Manager, or my AICP, my planning certification, or just because it makes sense to do in my position to have that type of training. And then the lie of the head. I just like the other duties as assigned.
Yeah, I noticed that you bolded that. I didn't know if it would be offended or what. How we should take that duties as assigned.
You know, I'm wrapping up. The first few are wrapping up things that are in the pipeline. If you look in the lower left-hand corner, the big things I'll be starting this fall are reviewing our floodplain regulations. I'd like to bring to the board consideration of going from 18 inches, our elevation, to 3 feet, which goes hand in hand with where the flood insurance discounts begin to. It's a standard practice in the flood insurance world. So that's a conversation I'll have with the DNR and then you guys. Outreach to all those properties that have floodplain. Hey, do you know your property's in the floodplain? I had to schedule that carefully, that I'm out of the office for 2 weeks after I sent those. Okay. Make sure I'm around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's usually the new guy gets those calls.
Unfortunately, last time I did that, I went on maternity leave right afterwards. I didn't realize the response we would get. So it's been 10 years since we've done that comprehensively. Then on the right-hand side, some discussion on putting resolutions online. A couple department heads have brought that up. So I'll work with Shelley whether or not that's something we want to tackle, and is that even doable to go through scanning all historical resolutions and putting them online. But that's a conversation later this fall. And then the last one there, July 13th, I will be out of the office. I'm going to go to Mesa City, going to social media for natural disaster response and recovery training. It was an opportunity that emergency management sent out. And then, of course, other things that you guys assign. Do you have questions?
Yeah, I don't have a question, but I do have something that I'd like to say. So when Wayne and Paul and I created this position, has it been 2 years now?
2 years.
Coming up on 2 years. Created this position, I think there was full recognition from the three of us that Story County was missing something. We were missing that outreach to the community. I don't think, and Wayne, you can speak to this, I don't think any of us saw how big the job really was or what it was going to entail. I think we selected the absolute ideal person. I think your knowledge of the history of Story County and the way we have operated and your desire to dig in and produce the plans and the items that you've done. I think I'll look at a couple people in the audience who have followed all of this closely and in some cases were critical not only of the communication outreach that the county was doing, and I think rightly in a lot of cases, they were critical of the creation of the position and things like that. I think anybody who has watched this now over the last 2 years could not come to any other conclusion other than Story County is doing a better job than it's ever done. Whether it's official or not is a good conversation. A better job than it's ever done at fully reaching out to the members of our community. And we really, really thank you for it.
And we really, this has garnered some notice from the Iowa Association of Counties and other counties as I've been able to share some of the work that Leanne has done. We're getting inquiries about how they can do similar things like this and so forth. So
they can't have Leanne.
Well, we knew that. I totally can't do that.
Marty, anything?
I will use Leanne as a resource, as I just have already done today. We have a very long-standing personal relationship, and we've had a free-flowing conversation about issues before the county, great and small, and I look forward to continuing that.
And I'm on sports fields, we'll be having work.
I think we will see each other both within this building and outside of it.
Well, and I think Marty's a good example. As a citizen, you were somebody who utilized the additional outreach that the county was doing. I mean, you're somebody who followed this stuff, so you get to see it or got to see it from the other side there for a little while.
Leanne is ultimately approachable in the sense that it's just like she wants to tell her story. And the thing is, she just wants to tell you, and she's evolving in her position. I'm kind of surprised to see the degree that you have irons in the fire. And I think for one person in one place, that says a lot, and appreciate that. And as I come to do this job that much more, I will, as I said earlier, I would utilize you as a resource just to answer questions and see if I can't be and implementer of things that need done on behalf of the county.
Outstanding. Thanks, Pam. Next item is the facilities management quarterly report. Cal, we got new concrete right outside our back entrance. I saw that.
Where did that come from?
I told them to tell me when they wanted my handprints in there, and somebody forgot to call me.
Send you an invoice for those new shoes that I had to buy because I stumbled.
Last time I walked through it?
I know. Not the concrete.
I'm Cal Pearson, the director of Story County. The morning board. Welcome, Supervisor Chitty.
Thank you, Cal.
I just got a brief rundown, some numbers that I usually pass by you, and it's amazing how fast the quarter goes. This is time from February 26th of this year to June 1st of this year. Go through the completed work orders and on calls. On call numbers are times after hours that our staff is called upon for emergencies at different areas throughout the county that we maintain. Administration building had 118 work orders, one on call. CLP group homes had 64 work orders, six on calls. Human Service Center had 98 work orders, six on calls. Justice Center, 95 work orders, five on calls. Jail, 18 work orders, one on call, and 16 other work orders for a total of 409 work orders and 19 on calls through this quarter, and we actually had three snow days this quarter, too, that we took care of. Some projects that we've worked on, we've replaced the lower level restroom floors at the Human Service Center. That's been a big improvement over there at that building. Here at the administration building, we put in a new front reception area, mailbox, and drop box. I think that's a big improvement for this building. I think it looks well, and as far as I know, it's functioning well. I haven't heard any complaints. So.
And it eliminates the safety hazard of tripping over that marble platform.
Exactly, yes. I met with conservation regarding the transition of custodial and maintenance duties that's coming about. I look forward to working with Mike and his staff.
Yeah, let's spend a minute right there, Cal, just in case everybody's not aware of what's going on. So we're in the process of selling the CLP building, which you have listed here as CLP group homes. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue to maintain the group homes, so we'll still have some work there. But once the sale is completed with the CLP administration building, we won't have any facilities responsibilities there. What we're going to do is take those man hours and shift them or shift the majority of them to being able to provide services to McFarland Park and conservation part of the building for conservation, which up till now has been doing their own, has been contracting out for custodial and been doing many of their own facility type repairs. Now that's going to fall to you. So I would imagine a quarter from now when we see it, we're going to have a new category on here, which is going to be conservation on McFarland, and we're going to see some work going on there.
So, yeah, we have some interesting projects lined up for there, so I think we can see some big improvements as we get started with that.
Benefit to the county is multifold, I believe. One, we don't get the same kind of work out of contracting out for custodial and trying to piecemeal facility fixes together. Anybody who's in one of our facilities that Cal and his staff take care of, you recognize that it's a facility that's really, really well taken care of. This allowed us to not have to reduce staff. Clearly some hours are going away that we were spending on the CLP administration building. We're able to shift those hours over and save some dollars on the back end by doing away with some of the outside custodial. And we're going to see, I believe, and I expect, an improvement in the upkeep of the facility at McFarland.
Absolutely. Another project we're working on, engineers building. We did a partial recarpet of the reception area. Hopefully in the next fiscal year we'll be able to move on and finish the building out. Again, we've been meeting with Optima regarding the transition so far. I think things are going well with those talks, and I think that'll be pretty smooth when the time comes. Kitchen hood inspections at COP and Justice Center have been done. Upgrades have been made. administration generator inspections complete. We did a safety inspection audit at the admin building. I think all problems were taken care of that were found. Generator tank was filled at the administration for the generator. Upgrade to keyless entry. That was a big project in the three buildings. That went real well. We have a excellent system in here with that we'll be able to use for a long time. We have a lot of capabilities that we can add on with that system that will be good for Story County. General patching pain, several offices as time allows. That's kind of an ongoing thing. Mowing and yard work is in full swing right now. It's kind of a balancing act. You know, I've got a pretty seasoned staff now with vacations and comp time, so it's a scheduling issue to keep everything going and make sure people get their time off. We moved fine recovery of the county attorneys over at Ames to the former Veterans Affairs Office in HSC. That went real well. County attorneys has been struggling with space needs. We've been able to move some doors around to accommodate, try and make it a little better for them with the situation they have. Repaired some windows at the engineer's office that have lost their gas and needed repair, and repaired broken windows out at the jail that for some reason or other seem to get broke on occasions. Other than that, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to try and answer any for you.
Now, just a quick comment to say that as visitors come in into Story County, you know, we constantly hear about how well our buildings have been maintained by your staff and so forth. And I just recently last week when Senator Grassley was out at the Justice Center and when Sheriff was talking about moving in 2002 and looking at the facility, several of the people in that group commented again how impressed they were with the upkeep of that facility. And I just mentioned that's also true of all of our facilities, and you and your staff should be complimented for, you know, what you do for us.
Thank you.
What is the timeline on the Optimite as far as their taking over the COP? Is that, do I understand
correctly? We were shooting for July 1st, but it sounds like due to the Ames.
Yeah, and so Marty resides with the Ames City Council. I was gone before planning and the Ames Planning and Zoning Commission. They made a recommendation. So right now it's since it's a governmental property that's taxed, no taxes, I don't believe there's even any zoning overlay on it right now. So the City of Ames, before it goes into private hands, needs to have that thing zoned as something. And there has been conversations back and forth. Now, Planning and Zoning Commission in Ames has come out with a recommendation to the City Council, which I think happens on the 14th. It's got to have three readings,
right.
And so the question is going to be how quickly that gets done. Is it going to happen before or after July 1st? My expectation would be that we will close this deal sometime soon after July 1st, and that's what we'll see.
So the decision on the timeline is the City of Ames at this point?
We're waiting on the City of Ames. Everything else is done.
Okay.
Yeah. We're moved out, and then systems are pretty much ready to be turned over to them when the time comes.
The nice part is they've been in the building for a year. I, as Cal alluded to earlier, I think it'll be a fairly seamless transition. Now, we will maintain ownership and responsibility for the three group homes, including the one that is right over there on the south side of that property.
Okay.
Cal, thanks.
Thank you.
Next item is our departmental report from Information Technology, Barb Steinbeck. Barb, you've been hopping.
Yes, we have, in more ways than one.
Let's go have anybody else dig up one of our fiber optics round. How about that?
That would be great. Barb Steinbeck, Information Technology. Welcome, Marty, to the team.
Thank you.
I just wanted to give a brief update on a lot of the projects that we're working on. A major project that is when did we start? Been going on since last August. Is our evaluation of printing services for the county. This helped us in two ways. Number one, we found out just from taking a brief two-month timeline that we're spending about $12,000 a month on printing. And that includes toner, leases, paper. That's quite a chunk. But the other reason that I'm interested in doing this evaluation is the amount of time that IT has to spend supporting 11-year-old printers that are not under maintenance and that are, I'd say we have probably 23 different models throughout the county, and it's kind of hard to keep up on that. And every time we have new software, it has new drivers, so these older printers are harder and harder to work with the new software. So it's a challenge.
Well, and to add to that, so this was one of Paul Toot's, we'll call it a pet project, right? So Paul, I think rightly so, could not understand the number of printers and copiers that we had on each floor of our buildings. And it was one of those items that that for whatever, you know, we were together for over 5 years, Wayne, the three of us, and it was one of those items that just never got addressed. But it was something that was always on Paul's list. Barb, I know you and he talked about it a lot.
Yes, we did.
That we needed to dig into this and figure this out. And today, to me, is the epitome of where we are today in our printing and copying services. So on this floor, not counting some smaller individual printers that we have major size, big printers or copiers in both the auditor's office and the board of supervisors' office, and neither one of them work as we sit here today.
Correct.
And we're in the middle of a primary election, and we've got a copier in the auditor's office that doesn't work. And it just seems to me that no one was spending $12,000 a month countywide on this. There's got to be a better solution, and that better solution may involve each one of us having to get up and walk out of our office area to a centralized location, but there could very well be a much better option, much more effective option, and something that we can have a more reliable, substantive printer copier solution for the county employees to utilize.
And it doesn't hurt us to get up and walk a few steps.
That's right into the wellness concept.
Exactly. Ideally, in a lot of places that I've worked, there is just the main copy printer center. For the way this building is shaped, that's kind of a challenge, and especially when the buildings aren't designed to do that, it's hard. So what we're trying to do is have people take another look at their printing needs and say, well, you know, I probably don't need my own personal printer. I could probably use that one. And we've also implemented one of the main reasons people say they need their own copier is for security. You know, I'm printing something I don't want somebody else to see. So we're, with this new solution, they're implementing the badge recognition. So if you send a copy job, it doesn't print till you actually walk up to the copier, swipe your badge, and then it will show a list of the jobs that you've sent, and you select which ones you want to print as you're standing there. So I think that's a good plus and takes away some of the argument that you don't need my own printer. But anyway, we're just wrapping that up. We're meeting with HSD later in the week, and then we should have some numbers by next week to what it's going to cost. We've also wrapped up the intranet project that was more for our internal needs, like HR things and IT things, and when we get our new software next fiscal year, we'll be placing our work orders from the intranet. So I find this is something that will only grow, and as we find more benefits that we can use it for, I see a big thing. A lot of people have campaigns that they send out flyers on, and it clutters up people's mailboxes. It would be nice if they could put it on their own intranet page and maybe let us know in an email, this is what's out there. We've also finished up our document management. This has been a long, ongoing project and very difficult to do because of some of the index classes we have, especially with the Sheriff's Office. But as of now, the entire county is able to scan to our Tyler Content Management Program. So hopefully this will reduce those boxes of old files and papers sitting around. Another big project we worked on was the body camera and wireless implementation at the sheriff's office. We had an old system that we still have on our old cars called Digital Ally, and ran into some problems, actually dangerous problems, where some of the cameras on the patrolmen would overheat, and they were too hot to even touch. So, plus the fact that the cameras were unstable, unreliable, and support wasn't the greatest, they did look at and show.
Or didn't we have one of our deputies receive minor burns on his chest?
Yes, he did. So we've got this new Kel-Tec Panasonic solution that is in all the new cars, and we're hoping by the end of the month it will be in all of the old cars too. So right now we're running two systems, but
the board allocated unbudgeted dollars in order to purchase that.
And we decided to go with the maintenance rather than purchase everything outright, which makes perfect sense. But once we're not at the gold standard, which is what we're hoping for, because Panasonic found a few bugs in the video upload on the new system. Once they get those fixed, we'll be on the gold standard, which is what everybody wants to have. So, and I thought, initially we thought Polk County had gone with this system, so we thought, oh, well, you know, if Polk County does it, we're fine, but found out that they did not. So we're the beta for this new system, but so far, everybody has great things to say about it, and nobody's had a problem, so. And from our standpoint, we have a IT staff member at the Justice Center, and he used to spend the greater part of his day just troubleshooting issues, and that's freed up a lot of his time, so I'm thankful for that. Networking updates. We've had some fun with this. Our 911 redundant network project, we decided to try to do something about, we had a 1 gig older connection which connects our three PSAPs. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Marty, but we have a 911 center in the city of Ames, one at ICU, and one here. So there's three PSAPs, and we kind of help each other out when we have issues. Like if one's, I remember when city of Ames had to remodel their dispatch area, then they came over here to work. So we kind of help each other out with that. But we had some grant money that we applied for and received, which now allowed us to build a second ring, a redundant network, so that if one goes down, the other one will pick up. So we won't have any outages, no downtime. Wonderful. We're going to put our production network on the new connection because it's 10 times faster than the old, and then use the old connection to fail over too. So actually, they're just finishing that up. We had a problem with one of the Champion 1 pieces that had to be sent back and reconfigured, and we just got that back on Monday. So this project should be completed within the next week or so. So that's exciting for everyone. What Rick alluded to earlier was the fiber replacement we did at the Justice Center. Over the years, we never really had, when fiber comes into your building, you have what's called a handhole, which is basically a vault or a safe where all the connections are, and it has sometimes a steel, sometimes a cement lid on it. We never really had anything like that here at the Justice Center, and so every time we needed to make a change with fiber, we had to dig up the cement, and I know that wasn't fun for Cal and his team to have to re-cement it every time. So, but during all of this digging up and placing in new fiber, the casing on the old fiber got nicked, and so moisture was getting in there. In order to not have a catastrophic outage, which we don't have COOP-COG built up for yet, we decided to take some money that we earned from another project and put it toward replacing this fiber. So during the fiber replacement, Central Iowa Broadband had a loop of fiber coming in that wasn't in the initial casing, simply because there was no room, which is another reason why we needed to replace that. So that got pulled, and conservation was without connectivity for 2 days, and we didn't have internet here, so it was not fun. It could have been a lot worse. And we do have all the digging done. They did place the new vault, the handhold, in there just before we got all that rain 2 weeks ago, and all that has sunk. So they did work a little bit to bring it back up to the level so Cal can pour his cement back in there. They had to take out a few more panels than they thought they would need to. And then we're looking at June 16th to do the cutover. The cutover will involve 7 different vendors, including Windstream, Central Iowa Broadband, State of Iowa, and they all had to be notified. What we're really struggling with to finish this project is once we start patching the fiber over, the Justice Center will be an island. They will not have access to this building where all their shared files, their email, their message switch, that the 911 network gets their information from.
There's a redundancy then.
Well, that was a redundancy.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. So the microwave connection used to be a redundancy, but it wasn't. It wasn't powerful enough to handle everything. So in my next budget year, I have some things in place that will provide more redundancy. So right now, actually, communication integrators was here today trying to get that microwave configured. It was never, once it was replaced, we didn't have a network admin here to do that, and nobody's really sure who did it in the first place. So we're trying to configure the microwave connection that we have between these two buildings to at least handle the minimum traffic. It won't handle everything that their connection currently does, but once the patching starts at 11 o'clock at night, when the shift changes, we felt that would be the best time. They could be back up within an hour. We've got an 8-hour window for downtime because we've got 7 different vendors to move, but we're going to make sure that we get dispatch up first. The alternative, with our 3 different PSAPs, we could have sent some people to Ames, decided that we're going to try to get this microwave connection working first. So
the microwave connection, so you're saying that at 11 p.m. on, you say 16th?
Yeah.
11 p.m. on the 16th, if we have the microwave connection, we'll be fine. Whoever's working in dispatch will have access to everything over here.
Yeah.
Because there won't be much going on at 11 p.m.
Right.
on the network.
Right.
And then if everything goes like we hope it's going to go, you think it'll be an hour or so. We've got an 8-hour window before we ramp up to start work the next day. So you feel decent as we start this that we'll be ready to go and have full connectivity by the next morning?
I feel by the next morning we should be good. I'm just worried about the amount of traffic. We're going to do a failover first just to test it and see what it's going to do. They will experience some slowness. And we met with the command staff over there. The jail is going to be affected too, dispatch. So we've met with all of them. We're having weekly meetings, and we also talked with electronic engineering about setting up a temporary microwave if this one wasn't robust enough to handle our traffic, and they can do that for a cost of about $2,000 for us to rent that, but we still have to configure the carryover, you know, the manual switch our network over to the microwave. So once that's done, then there will be triple redundancy at the Justice Center. But I don't envision that we'll need to use that microwave connection, not that current one. And as E has pointed out, those dishes are 14 years old. They probably need to be looked at to be replaced. Any more questions on that?
No.
I don't want to make light of it. That is a huge endeavor, and I'm a little nervous about it, but I think I'm real confident that the vendor's
going to
see us through
on that. Let's make sure we've taken every precaution we can take. Please keep Alyssa informed on what we find with the microwave. If we need to dig in and spend the $2,000 to have a little redundancy, I think that is a better option than turning our Justice Center into an island for X number of hours.
Definitely.
And just stay on top of that, Barb.
Will do. Another networking project we work on was the CLP fiber bypass. Kind of a little history there. When the fiber from this building to Ames was laid, CLP was there before HSD. So now that we're selling the building, we need to remove them from the loop. And a lot of the equipment there, once we switched it over, didn't work. We did order a new little card that could plug into the switch that actually fixed our problem. It allowed us, what the problem was is the card that was in there wasn't distance enough. So we had a gigabit, we call them, it's a gigabit, carries the fiber to Ames. So now we're good on that. So once the building is totally out of our hands, all we have to do is terminate some ends at the handhole, we'll be good.
Terminate some ends, and so we used to have the server room in CLP,
yes.
and you shifted that a year or so ago,
yes.
Over to the HSC.
We moved it to HSC. So we're all good. As soon as we get the go-ahead on that building, we can remove that from our fiber loop.
Okay.
Some other things that have taken up some time, the Microsoft licensing, we just went through the 3-year true up, and I can't tell you enough what a painful process this is. Trying to get, I wish we could deal directly with Microsoft. They don't do it that way. So we do deal, actually, 4 people involved, Microsoft, State of Iowa Contract, Insight, and us. We finally got the information last week, so I think our big worry is this time of year we don't make it to budget. So if we don't have the numbers and the invoice to pay for our Microsoft licensing, the money that we had budgeted can't get spent. But we've got that done, so that's another relief. Now, we did have a vendor change in the VoIP system. Actually, this took place January 1st, and they're still trying to transition us in. LightEdge sold the VoIP system, all the anything to do with voice over IP phones, to Orion, which used to be INS Alliance Technologies. They changed their name to Orion. And they have agreed to renew our LightEdge contract for 3 years at the price we contracted with LightEdge. And then they're going to come out. They've offered to spend 1 day training some of the people now that we've had it for over a year. There's questions that people have. You know, when you get training on a new product, you really don't know how to ask informed questions until you've used it. So this is a good opportunity. We're just going to travel around to the different departments and see if there's some things that they still have questions about that we can help them figure out. So I really appreciate them offering to do that for us. And, you know, it's, I think, good customer service.
Good opportunity for them to try to upsell us too, Barb.
Sure. You know, it's got to be a win-win for everybody. Another thing that's kind of been a thorn on our side was the Vine server. And Vine, I don't know if you know, Marty, Victim Information Notification System. This is when a perpetrator is released from jail. The victim that was involved in the crime gets a notification. So they used to run this on an old XP machine, and XP has been gone now for 2 years. We can't use it. There's a huge security risk. So they've been trying to implement this cloud solution. And Vine is a product from Avris. It's a software company. And then SunGuard is our message switch. It's our 911 all the cars use it. They all have to tie together, and they weren't talking. So this is something Michael wanted to get off his plate before he left in July. So I called together SunGuard, Avris, and ISU, who handles the firewalls for our 911 system, and said, you know, we need to get this working. What do we need to do? And really, that's all it took, was just to get everybody on the same conference call at the same time, on the same WebEx. We found out it was just we needed to translate an external IP address to an internal IP address, and it worked. So then they're all worried. The next day I kept getting emails, well, I don't see anything. Well, that's because there's no information to be sent. So this morning even we got a couple emails, yes, there's information coming through, so we've got that fixed. Micah can leave and not have to worry about that. Security testing, know before, and Rick, you missed this. It was a very good demo. I brought this to the manager's meeting a few weeks ago. There's a hacker whose name was Kevin Mitnick, and he was sent to jail for hacking into some federal databases and decided to take his expertise and turn it to do something good. So he's initiated this program that a lot of counties are now using. It's called Know Before. And what this does is it sends little test emails. It's all about informing the user on security for the network. So by signing up, subscribing to the service, and I did subscribe to a year subscription, you'll get tests, various tests sent to the users via email. I don't know if it's going to be phone calls, but if they click on the wrong thing in an email, they will get a little box that pops up and says, uh-oh, yeah. You clicked on this because you didn't do this. We can do everything possible to secure our networks, but the hugest security risk, 80% comes internally. All of our users have access to all of our systems, so by tricking them to click on something they shouldn't click on, a hacker's paradise. So we'll be, and I won't tell you when that'll start because everybody will be involved, but it's an educational process for everybody.
Well, it's a chance for us to ascertain if we've got real security issues, if we don't have staff trained appropriately.
Exactly.
So good.
And I don't know.
What's that cost us? What's the subscription to that cost us?
$1,900 for a year.
$1,900 for a year, and do we know yet? Okay, go ahead.
277 users. It's based per user.
Per user, so $1,900 per year, and do we know how often? I mean, clearly, we don't want them to tell us when the tests are going to come through, what's going to look like, but do we know how often we're going to get tested on that?
No.
Okay, well, I think it's worth monitoring what we're getting for $1,900.
They'll get reports. We'll get a report. We clicked on what was sent out. It's very detailed in the reporting.
When you're going to stop watching cat videos.
Yeah, I was going to say, you made a comment on the email that you forwarded back that we got.
Yeah.
This was mentioned at CoStar last week. We actually had a county officer respond to an email saying it came from the Board of Supervisors to the Treasurer's Department instead of using the proper protocol where the system was hacked. And so they ISAC sent out a notification, and but these are the little things that you take for granted or you don't think really can happen, because people now, they have all the access and all the information about us and the communication, and they can monitor or change the message so that it looks like it's the real message coming from one of the supervisors to the treasurers about withdrawing some funds and needing some funds. And it actually happened to two counties in the state of Iowa because people didn't use proper protocol. And so it was important that I think we pay attention to the cybersecurity threats that are out there and the different security things that are happening. It's the question is when it could happen, because there are folks out there that are really trying their best to gain hold of valuable information and try to use it to their advantage. So, but I thought that was again something that while there's a cost to for this, the overall cost once we're hacked is astronomical compared to what we've got to do to make sure that we are as secure as we possibly can.
Well, when the treasurer got hacked 3 years ago, we had, $80,000 that was missing for X number of hours?
Yeah. Within a few minutes, so that was caught. So, yeah.
Which we ended up getting back, but it was missing for a few hours.
And, you know, the big thing is information. It used to be credit card information was a big selling point. Now it's healthcare information, because all of your information is there in one file. I don't know if you know this, but Polk County was hacked a couple weeks ago on a Friday, and they were down. Told they had to turn all their customers away. They were down until Saturday afternoon. What they fell victim to was this crypto locker,
right,
which seems to be a big thing, especially with counties, because a lot of counties aren't as lucky as us. They don't have an IT staff or just one IT person who's trying to wear all those hats. So I don't want that to be us. I think our users have done a great job. We get calls daily from people, hey, I got this email, what do you think, kind of thing. So I did send out the link to everybody, which had the little program, the little video that I showed at the manager's meeting, and it just shows different ways to check the links on your emails that you receive, and it was very informational. I think this will be good for us.
Good.
We've also been doing budget evaluations. Comes every time this year. We get to see how much money we have and what we have left to buy, and oh, gee, can we spend that money this year or not? So I think we're in pretty good shape.
But if the Board of Supervisors is doing its job setting your budget, you got enough, but no more than that.
Exactly. For the projects that we've planned. So I think we're good there. We are doing antivirus evaluations. We do this every 2 years. One size doesn't fit all. Every time we come across a really good product that we think is going to work, 2 years later there's something better. So we've got to look forward to that, because you will be getting a new antivirus, and we've got one picked out that I think is, it's new, but it has very good reviews, so that's coming in the next month or so. And the last thing I just wanted to update you on is the paging at the Justice Center. This was a project that was started back in 2002 and was never completed. I don't know if it ran out of funds or what, but it really came to light. We do have paging available with our VoIP phones. However, Several weeks ago, there was a tornado just north of Nevada, and Micah didn't have any way to notify the people who were there for a court session and the people in clerk of court. He didn't have any way to notify them. So we're kind of bringing this little dog back into the limelight, and I did work with Black Box, and they brought back a quote of $7,800 to add 18 more speakers in the admin area at the sheriff's office. There were never any speakers put there. And then also get everything hooked up and current using the old amplifier. So if we have to get a new amplifier, that'll be an additional cost. But to get paging available at the Justice Center for all offices and all departments, it's $7,800.
And that's not a request at this point, right? That's something we're still looking at. Okay.
It's something that we've met with, and now we have the numbers. Now we need to decide what to do.
Okay.
Any questions? I know I've thrown a lot at you.
Wayne? Marty?
No, sir.
Thanks, Barb. Thank you. You're going to learn more about IT and drainage districts than you ever thought possible.
Welcome to Surrey County.
Thank you.
No other reports. Public forum number two, opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. The board may not take any action due to the requirements of meeting law, but we might take action in the future. Anybody wishing to address us? Liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Wayne?
Very briefly, I met with Carla yesterday. Tomorrow morning at 8:15, I'll be on a conference call for the Regional Governance Board. It's regarding expenditure of regional dollars to assist Power Sheet County. And this was brought to us at our last meeting, and the admin team has reviewed the request, and I think it's they're recommending probably spending about $105,641 that'll go directly to PowerSheet and the county, and for the phone systems and so forth, which they're trying to get some similarity, there'll be another $15,000, and they also are not recommending expenditures of computers and equipment, which I thought was a really good deal. So the governance board will be meeting tomorrow to approve the expenditures of those dollars, and then.
So this is equipment for PowerSheet that helps bring them more in line with operation for the rest of the region. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, to a degree. Yes, it's actually there's the facility that they are moving into, bringing all of their services under one entity. For better operation and continuity was needed, and it was costing roughly about $105,000 to do that. They may have a little bit more background.
Yeah, I mean, so we're clear, Marty. Yeah. So Story County is part of a 10 county region that provides mental health services to the region. Wayne is our representative on that governing board for the region. I think it's appropriate. So Wayne is one of 10. You have one vote of 10 on that region. But I think it's appropriate for the Board of Supervisors to have some awareness of what's happening there. And if we have any thoughts or direction for Wayne to take on Story County, I think that's appropriate. What can you tell us about this?
Good morning. I believe, too, this is a building that used to house the Powell Sheet County Mental Health Center. The county owns the building, and the specific area that they're looking at remodeling is to bring in another mental health provider. The Powell Sheet County Mental Health Center closed a few years ago. Grinnell Regional Medical Center took over the services. They've decided they don't want to continue doing that. And so Capstone, which is based out of Newton, is moving operations then into this county building in Grinnell and going to provide those outpatient mental health services. And so they need to ramp
up. So in essence, it's transition. As they transition services, which I'll just remind everybody, we petitioned and utilized regional funding to do some of the transition work that we needed to do to optimize. Is it fair for me to equate those two, Deb?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And I believe there's also, along with that, remodeling is to make some handicap accessible entrances and exits within the building.
Right.
right. Well, Wayne, we'll look forward to hearing what happened next week. Anything else?
Then she just talked about the part of fire and all the coordinated services that took place and that are ongoing for the residents there. And
well, Treasury Department fire, everything I hear is that the response across the board was as good as anything we've seen in Story County.
Right. And then, Deb, I don't know if you're going to bring this to us at a later time or just what, but we did discuss the CLP cost report and the funding from the FY15 that Story County will be receiving. We don't know exactly when, but, you know, it's better for us to receive funds rather than having to pay. So that's kind of a neat thing to have. And then also we discussed the invoice for the region. This year, I think, it's right around $3,334,000 that will be paid to the region. I think last year was around 3.2 or somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, and so Lisa Markley brought to us last week all the budget amendments that we had to make to go make that payment to the region.
So that was about all it was.
All right. Marty, anything you want to say here?
No, I am just taking this all in so that I can be more of a contributor to meetings going forward.
Absolutely. The three of us have a meeting. Marty, I don't know if your schedule allows you to attend, but we have a meeting in Hardin County tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Wayne, if you get done with your conference call, head that way. It's a joint drainage district. We'll be serving in our capacity as drainage district trustees, and just a joint district where some work was done without our knowledge, without Story County's knowledge. And so we'll have a conversation about that. Anything else for the good of the order?
No. Nope.
If not, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.